You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Yes, like the dude just said, this show is solid, conservative, and just plain right. We even have t-shirts that say that, so there you go. All right, listen, this is a time of the week. I mean, I love doing this. We typically call it Copper and the Birdman. Copper had to be away today, so Yaff Man, Yaffe is sitting in with us. Yaffe, who has his own morning show right here on WVNN, probably could answer all these questions in his sleep, but he is sitting in for Copper. So I guess what we're doing is Yaffe and the Birdman. Is that what we're doing today, Yaff? I guess so.
I think that sounds good. Yeah, Dale might say Yaffster and the Birdman.
But. Yeah. All right, the Yaffmeister and the Birdman. Birdman, are you with us?
I'm here. How y'all doing?
We're good. Now, you are, Birdman, you are in the presence of, like, you know, prolific greatness here. Yaffe does this for a living, so you know that, right?
Well, it's an honor. How about
okay.
that?
Okay. All right. Don't sound so subdued now, Birdman. Speak it up. All right, here we go. We got to start it off with a sound effect, though. One of my favorite sound effects of all that we do. So, Yaffe, if you got it, hit it.
Woo-hoo! Woo-hoo! Woo-hoo!
It makes me laugh every time. All right, so here's the deal. The way Copper and the Birdman and even Yaffe and the Birdman works is there's just a series of questions. I'm just going to throw them out there and just get y'all's feedback. Ramble it off as you see fit. You may not even agree, but I want to hear what y'all have to say. We're looking at this is a multi-generational segment here, I guess. So let me do this first question is, and I've been doing this segment on it, negative campaign ads. Here's my question. Do negative campaign ads impact your personal vote? What are your thoughts on them? Is it fair game? Birdman, you first.
So obviously it has some effect. A lot of people view this as very negative, just as a general rule. But to me, there's actually a lot of positives to take away from this, because when I see a negative campaign ad, I always take it with a grain of salt. And honestly, more often than not, that just encourages me to do more research into the candidates, especially if it brings up a specific topic. So it does affect, but it doesn't necessarily mean I'm just outright not going to vote for the person that it's trying to negatively affect.
All right. Well, my question, though, let me follow up that real quick before I go to Yaffe. So you actually research. Do you think that you are common in that regard? Do you think that most people watch a negative campaign ad and go, let me do some research on that?
Honestly, I feel like there's no direct answer to that personally, because I think more so maybe in large, like, presidential votes, stuff like that. But on the smaller scale stuff, I think people are more likely to look at it and take it at face value. Whereas when it comes to, like a presidential primary, people are more likely to read into that. I think it might be more situational.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Yaffe, so what are your thoughts, man? Negative campaign ads, do they impact you? What do you think about them?
So during election season, I get so many listeners that come up to me and say, I'm so sick of the negative ads. I'm so sick of all the political ads. And you know what I tell them? It works. They're never going away because it works. That's why they do it. One of the best examples is what happened to Mike Durant. I think Mike Durant hurt himself a little bit too. But there's no doubt that the ads that the Brick campaign and some of the PACs put out against Durant work. So in a way it works. And I will say this, while I don't like a lot of them, I don't like the dishonesty, because I don't like dishonesty in general. There is something kind of beautiful and American about it. Not the dishonesty, but the ads. Because yeah, let me
rephrase
that.
Beautiful and American about it.
The ads, because think about it. In the history of the world, where you would have been able to put out statements that went against maybe people who are already making laws, people who are already in power. In America, we do it so much that it's annoying. So we have the freedom to criticize those in power in these negative campaign ads. And in a way, that's kind of beautiful, I just have to say.
So I leave your comments by just saying America. That's
exactly
where we're at.
Yes.
So, okay. And I'll be honest with you, too. I look at negative campaign ads, and having been someone who had negative campaign ads run against me, I take them not only with a healthy grain of salt, but they get on my nerves. But I also recognize it's part of it. There were times when I think I was probably more callous to it than Charlene was. She would get madder than I would sometimes. But But all that to say, I also think it depends on what it is. Negative campaigns ads can be based in truth if they're, you know, real. But what too often happens is at the very least, they take a little grain of something and they turn it into a whole, you know, imagery that it does not necessarily match the reality of what was said or done. And then there's the outright lies. And those, I think, have to be dealt with, like that Iowa State senator I talked about a while ago. Okay. All right. Let me switch gears on you. So we've been, you know, in the aftermath of this horrible school shooting in Uvalde, Texas. Arguments are raging right now on gun control versus hardening schools versus something in between. I mean, how do you even harden a school? And if you did, does it create a negative environment for the kids? And what is the role of government in doing all that? So, Yaffe, I'll go you first this time.
Well, I think there are ways you can do it without it seeming like a prison. I mean, I know even in my high school, there were, you couldn't just walk in the front door. It was locked. You had to go to the front office to be able to get in. I mean, simple stuff like that to me can make a big difference. And in terms of like armed security or even arming teachers, John Lott, who's an expert on this, he came out with a study. He says, look, there are literally hundreds of schools across the country that already allow teachers to be armed, and they don't have a problem. They don't have mass shootings, and they don't have the problem of teachers like shooting students or something like that. It just doesn't happen. So I think a lot of the fear of doing stuff like this goes along with too many in the culture that don't understand guns and have a fear of guns because we're just taught to fear it nowadays.
Yeah, good point. Birdman, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, he's spot on. You know, the when it comes to hardening schools, there we
Did we lose him?
He muted himself.
Oh, so no. Sorry. Yep.
Okay. Yeah, no. A self-inflicted wound there. Go ahead.
Yeah, apparently. What I was trying to say was the bottom line is we have known answers since the Sandy Hook shooting. We have. We know how to harden schools. Gunmen chooses soft targets. This is stuff that we know. Guards, increased protocols, police trainings, biometrics. Simply like Yaffe said, verification outdoors first. My high school was the same way. If I came up to the door, I had to push a button, speak, and you know, talk to the front desk and say who I was, you know, give proof. There's a lot that can be done. And I think that the response from the White House has been very clear that it hasn't been looking for answers. It's been looking for proof of its own agenda.
Ah, wow. Wow, that was well said. Yeah, and I agree with that. I mean, when you hear you know, White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre say the president is not interested in hardening schools. Well, you have to look at it and go, well, why the frick not? I mean, what
exactly?
How hard is it to say we're going to put a Ring doorbell on the front of the school? That's not even expensive anymore. Yeah. Or for that matter, to say you have to have a double entry where there's a vestibule, you come in and there's a secondary entrance. And then, or what about single point of entry? The side doors are all locked. But you can exit them if you have to in an emergency, but you just can't open the door from the outside.
Yeah,
I think all those things are too easy. Go ahead.
One thing that I think is extremely overlooked, especially from the police side of things, is the police training. And in my opinion, a lot of this, especially in big cities, has been overlooked because of things like the BLM defund the police movement. You cut off their funds, you cut off their training, you're putting kids at risk as well.
Well, so let me ask you this. The other part of that question that we didn't even address yet, and except, Yaffe, I think you did say we don't have to make it like a prison. You know, one of the liberal media outlets that I looked at today in my resourcing for my show said that it makes it to be an uncomfortable environment for students, especially students of color. How do you feel about that particular argument? Yaffe, you first.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, there are already a lot of schools in big cities and inner cities that do this kind of stuff. So if you have an uncomfortable environment, we've had this for a while. But I guess overall, if it's going to make it uncomfortable for anyone, it's going to make it uncomfortable for everyone. And there are probably some things that would make it uncomfortable, but it probably overall will make it more comfortable for teachers and students if they feel safer.
I totally agree. I mean, You know what's really uncomfortable? It's criminal activity in the school that harms kids. That's what's really uncomfortable. Birdman, what was your point? You're about to make say something.
Yeah, I honestly think that's a pathetic excuse from the left, because every single major institution, important person, important whatever is defended by guns in some capacity. Our president, Senate, Congress, you name it, banks, everything is defended by weaponry of some sort. We're not uncomfortable when we go into a bank, nor are these senators or congressmen uncomfortable when they go in and they're being it's a nonsense excuse.
Perfectly put. Perfectly put, and perfectly right up to the time of the break. Yeah, I tell you what, Yaff, go ahead and take us to the break. When we come back, we're going to keep going with Yaffe and the Birdman, and it's going to be stupidest story of the week time pretty soon, so that's going to be a part of it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We are in a segment right now we usually call Copper and the Birdman. Copper being out today, we have Yaffe and the Birdman. So the Yaffmeister is with us, running the boards today. We certainly appreciate it, man. I can't thank you enough. But, hey, let me do this. We're going to go right into the final portion of Yaffe and the Birdman. One of my favorite pieces every single time, because as much resourcing as I do on the show, I never find the same stories that they come up with for what we call stupidest story of the week. Like the thing that you looked at and go, that can't be real. And so I'm just going to go over to Birdman first. Birdman, stupidest story of the week, bro. What you got?
Okay. So it's coming from California. So brace yourselves.
Stand by.
Hey, so California has released an interim report that's currently recommending racial reparations and, cherry on top, segregated schools. It is a 500-page report that is recommending that the state that was never a slave state pay reparations for slavery and also segregate schools in certain locations.
So what is the illustrious Governor Gavin Newsom saying about the results of the report? Is he going to follow through on trying to get it done?
It is apparently an extension from the Californian Task Force to Study and Develop Reparation Proposals for African Americans. That's the full title. And this was launched last June. It was signed by Newsom, and it is just a panel that was put into place by Newsom for this specific purpose. And they are apparently actually making moves on this and have released this report. And there's a lot here. I mean, it is way too much to go over in just this segment, but there is a lot going into this, and they're even calling back to like the union in 1850. And I mean, it's a lot of stuff that they're trying to pull into this one bill.
That has to be one of the stupidest stories I've ever heard. They have any idea what the budgetary consequences are going to be for something that no one in existence right now actually experienced? I mean, I know it's horrible. I don't deny that. Slavery was awful. The idea that you can give reparations generations later and not break the bank, I don't see how in the world they can possibly sustain that, nor can they even make it feasible. Good Lord. Wow. All right. Well, you know what? We've seen Democrats give away money for less. Yaffe, you're up against the hard one on that one, man. That was a stupid story. What do you got? Stupidest story of the week. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't know if I could beat that, but this one's pretty good. According to one family, a family's missing tortoise was discovered in the attic after 30 years.
And what?
The tortoise? Yeah. Oh, yeah. And the tortoise is still alive. That's what's even more amazing. So the tortoise, which they named Manuela, belonged to the family in the early 80s, went missing when she was 8 years old when electrical work was taking place in the house. They were going through the attic in a speaker box, opened it up, and the tortoise was there and still alive.
Where is this?
I was trying to find that out, and it doesn't say. I think it's in the UK.
Are you reading the National Enquirer? What are you reading?
No, they think the tortoise survived because it was eating a termite larva, because they found termites up there, and that's how it survived. And tortoises can live up to 250 years, apparently.
Yeah, they can, but they keep growing, too. So how big was this lost tortoise? Did we know?
I mean, you could pick it up with, like, two hands. It wasn't too big. I know they, like, grow to their environment, I think. But, yeah, Oh, and by the way, they took it to the vet, and they found out, they thought it was a girl. It's actually a boy, so they changed the name from Manuela to Manuel, just so you know.
Well, how do we know he hasn't been identifying all these years? So the transgender 30-year-old tortoise has been living in the attic. There's a creep factor to this, too. This thing's been living in your attic for 30 years, walking around upstairs, making its way through life.
What's a tortoise going to hurt? And it was eating the termites for him. I mean, that's good.
Well, that is true. Eating the termites, I guess that's good.
I did not this, too, but tortoises can live, they can live up to like 3 weeks without food or water or something like that. I think it might even be longer than that. I was like, what?
So tortoises have superpowers is what I'm hearing.
Oh, I'm sorry. They can survive 3 years without food or water, according to the story. Yeah. So.
Okay. So first of all, I do think that the stupidest story of the week comes out of California Birdman, but the creepiest story of the week comes out of the tortoise that was living in the attic for 30. There are movie rights to that. I'm just saying. Wow. All right, speaking of movie rights, before we go, I got to know, either one of you guys seen Top Gun yet?
Yes.
Have you?
Not yet.
Okay, Birdman's not seen it, but Yef, you've seen it?
I saw it earlier this week in IMAX. I had to see it in IMAX.
In IMAX? Uh-huh. So is it all that we red-blooded Americans dreamed it would be?
Oh, yeah, it's pretty awesome. It's pretty awesome. It's not, I mean, if you're like a typical movie critic, you might find a couple of things, but it's pretty great.
Wow. Okay. All right. Truth, did you cry?
No. I'm not a crier about that. You know what makes me cry? The only thing that makes me cry in movies is when, like, animals get hurt. Like, you know.
Yeah, Charlene won't let us watch an animal movie. She won't. She refuses.
Humans get hurt, I don't care. But when it's animals, yeah. I'm like, oh.
Take them out. Don't touch the dog. All right. Leave the cannoli. All right. Hey, guys, thank you so much. That was Yaffe and the Birdman. Birdman, you have a good one. I'll see you soon. Yaffe, thanks for joining in with us. All right, folks, we're running to the last round of the day. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. We'll be right back.